This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Rich Bradbury. Welcome to Enterprise BizBytes on this Wednesday, the 6th of October, 12:06 here in the studio. I'm joined, as usual, by...
Christine Wong.
And...
Arvini Braj.
Wow. Where did you come from?
Full house.
Full house. Yeah. Have you been?
Good.
Yes?
Yes, over on TikTok.
We see that. Uh-huh. You seem to be posting quite an awful lot of videos over there, mm-hmm. with that famous little microphone get up that
the
you've
got. The famous little microphone.
Yeah.
And if you would like to see these TikToks, where can people go?
At BFM Radio on
At
TikTok.
At BFM Radio on TikTok.
Uh-huh. There you go. Some pretty decent videos on there, I see, as well.
You said it, not me.
Yeah.
Yeah, you may see some other familiar faces as well.
Indeed. Okay, folks, if you want to get in touch with the show today, you know how to do it by now. WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Twitter and Instagram, both at BFM Radio. We are asking you a question. We'll get to that in a moment. And it's because small businesses need two things to survive the pandemic: digital adoption and obviously steady profits. While being an e-commerce and delivery platform helps in terms of reach and awareness, a portion of merchants' profits are used for commissions and platform fees. We'll be discussing the importance of proper digital transitioning as well as having a platform that allows merchants to keep all of their profits. So we're asking you, are you still using food delivery as much now that places are reopening and that most of us are fully vaxxed? Why or why not? Let us know. We are polling on Twitter. We're asking the same question over on Instagram. And of course, if you want to take part in the conversation, the number once again is...
018-789-8899.
There you go. Right. Who wants to kick it off then?
Yeah. So this we picked up this article because we spoke about the 12th Malaysia Plan or 12 MP last week and how it's supposed to enhance a few sectors to help boost the economy, right? So it was interesting to see how much focus was put on digital adoption by businesses in the country. The government said that it will intensify efforts to encourage micro, small and medium enterprises or MSMEs to adopt digital technologies in production processes and business services, mainly in the back end of business operations. And then you have MDEX initiatives such as E-Rezeki, E-Usahawan and Global Online Workforce have collectively brought more than 2.15 billion ringgit in income generated. And more recently, MDEC kicked off the 2021 edition of the 100 Go Digital Coaching Program, which should enable businesses to move towards digitalizing their businesses to remain profitable during the pandemic.
So let's look at some stats and some numbers. From 2017 to 2020, mm-hmm. up to 489,000 SMEs were aided to adopt to e-commerce, with companies using e-commerce for export growing from 1,800 to 27,000. Mm. This is good news because small businesses and SMEs will need all the help that they can get. Because while many businesses adopted e-commerce as a strategy during the pandemic, our digital adoption hasn't been as robust as it should be. In June of this year, the SME Association reported that only 26% of local SMEs adopted e-commerce as a way to survive the pandemic. That leaves, obviously, a significant portion of businesses still operating offline with no online channel for revenue.
Mm-hmm. And according to the University Consortium of Malaysia, adopting e-commerce saw SME productivity increase by a whole 27%. What this means is that small businesses need the help of e-commerce platforms and service providers to be that bridge from offline to online and provide guidance to ensure a smooth transition. Mm-hmm. Now, another thing to seriously consider is profit making. Small businesses that do make the transition to e-commerce platforms usually enjoy enhanced reach and awareness, but a portion of their profits are put aside to pay commissions that can sometimes get pretty steep and other platform fees. From a merchant's point of view, it's important to understand that making a profit doesn't just mean having extra money stored away. It also means growing the company and potentially thriving during the pandemic.
Mm-hmm. So that's what we wanted to talk about or discuss on today's show, you know, like the role of e-commerce service providers during this time in terms of helping merchants have a smooth transition from that offline to online, as well as the importance importance of securing profits for small businesses.
Just after the break, we'll be getting in touch with Kalyani Nair, the head of virtual banking and payments over at Maybank, about their own e-commerce platform called Sama Sama Local. Talking about that shortly, of course. But we are asking that question: are you still using food delivery services as much now that places are reopening and that you're fully vaxxed? What about us here in the studio? I put my hand up and confess that I am using it just as much now as I have been throughout the entire pandemic. Probably a little bit more, actually.
Yep. Probably a bit more.
Yeah.
Same, pretty much the same. Has not changed.
Same boat.
Yeah, and I'm also in that position where the same few people are delivering to my house all the time. And even when I'm ordering stuff online from other places, you know, whether it's Shopee, Lazada, whatever, it's the same few people dropping off each few times. They no longer even ring the doorbell anymore. They just pop it in the same place and they send me a text message. Like, bing, another
package. So you recognize the faces?
I recognize them. They recognize me.
The top half of the faces.
I know their eyes and their eyebrows, yes. Anyway, get in touch, folks. We are polling, of course. We've got some numbers for you, but we'll give them to you after the break. Let's keep it exciting, shall we? To take us into the break, we've got some music from Deep Purple with Woman from Tokyo here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Begin Free Malaysia. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. I'm Rich Bradbury in the studio with
Christine Wong.
Arvind Yabraj.
We're going to be with you for about an hour or so, and we are asking you, are you still using food delivery services as much now that places are reopening and that most of us are vaxxed? Why or why not? The numbers over on Twitter are...
So it's 39% saying yes for convenience, 16.2% saying yes for safety, 33.8% saying no, I tapao, and 11% saying no, I dine in. So still very low numbers for dining in.
Yeah, I've got one over here on WhatsApp from May. Hi, Rich, Chris and Arvind. Woohoo, the whole gang is here together in the studio. Nice. May here, and a big yes. I still use food delivery whenever we feel lazy to tap our dinner, maybe two or three times a month. A month? I feel thoroughly cold out now. Sometimes I'm doing two or three times a day.
Yeah.
Thanks for that, mate. Chris, what about over on Instagram?
So on Instagram, we've got a yes or no poll with the 58% saying yes, 42% saying no. And we do have a couple of responses. So Kwan Wan Hong says, Shopee Foods got a discount. Did you know? I did not know. Stephen HSL says, freshly cooked food is the best. And Victor Zeidler says, I enjoy the ride out.
Nice.
Over on Twitter, we have a couple of tweets. This comes from Naya, says, never. I did try Grab and Panda just once in 2019, but did use an old school tiffin dinner delivery for 2 months last year. Now mostly cook or tapao once a month. My version is the large amount of wasted packaging that can't be recycled. Give me a rash in my soul.
I agree with that. A lot of the delivery services now, though, I don't know if you've noticed, have really started pushing towards recyclable packaging. A lot of the stuff that I've been ordering recently. Right, we do have Kalyani Nair, the head of virtual banking and payments over at Maybank, on the line with us to talk about the trends in the market and the dynamics of small merchants and businesses and their adoption of e-commerce platforms.
Yeah, because Maybank also has its own e-commerce and food delivery platform called Sama Sama Local that was launched last year to help SMEs during the pandemic.
And we wanted to speak to Kalyani because Sama Sama Local doesn't charge any commission, so it has a 0% commission structure, and there are no sign-up fees, which means that the merchants get to keep all of their profits. So Kalyani, we wanted to start by asking you about adoption and onboarding trends when it comes to e-commerce platforms that you've seen in the SME space since launching Sama Sama Local. How have these trends changed in the last 12 months?
Thanks, Arvind, for the question. I think the trend has changed quite a lot because of changes in behavior, right? We launched Sama Sama Local in April last year, right? It was a time when our branches are everywhere, right? They're all in the local neighborhoods. And when they were there, they noticed a lot of the mom and pop shops, the nasi lemak guy, the char kway teow guy, they were all struggling. And many of them were not digitally savvy. But one thing that changed in terms of behavior was that all of them, many of them, I wouldn't say all of them, but a large number of them wanted to find a way of how to survive, right? And that was the time when we decided that this could possibly be an option for these small merchants.
And has that response been good so far?
So we started off last year with about 200, 250 of these small struggling merchants. And today we've already got more than 10,000 on board. They're all looking forward to ways of how we can help. So the intention is that, how can we help? How can we make it better for these guys? So the numbers are showing are very good, are very encouraging, which means we're on the right track in helping these people.
Okay. Are you seeing trends in this space, especially among small businesses, that are surprising or unexpected?
I think the unexpected thing was previously people were very resistant. The ones who were a little bit more conservative were very resistant to go on board the digital channels, right? They really couldn't see the need. But with the pandemic having started, it suddenly opened up everyone's eyes. So I think that was one fantastic thing. But the other thing that I also realized is that a lot of our people could be very good in using Facebook. They could be into IG, TikTok, and what have you. But when it comes to selling online, they struggle. Yeah, so we can speak about smartphone penetration in Malaysia. We can talk about digital literacy in Malaysia. But how do you figure this one out, right?
Mm-hmm. So why do you think this digital divide exists, especially with smaller merchants? And what do you think can be done to bridge that gap between offline and online commerce?
So I think there's a big disparate connection between being active on digital for social reasons versus being digitally active for things that matter. So, for example, we had merchants who just couldn't understand or didn't know how to manage customers, communicating with customers, how to package the items. So what we did was we got our branches to actually train them, right? Adopt them, actually. We had this person called Dino. She had this very small lemang stall at the border between Negeri Sembilan and Malacca. And when COVID hit, she got hit very badly to an extent that she really struggled to take care of the family. So what happened was the Malacca branch team went down, taught her how to pack, because it's lemang, right? It comes in those large, long bamboo sticks, right? So it's not something that's easily packaged as well, right? But they all had to transform, find a way to transform. So I think this is where we need to help them with this tech inertia. We have taken this very seriously and we've got all our branch staff nationwide, plus a dedicated team of ambassadors who have been trained to help and guide them throughout this whole journey, right? The setup process, the packaging process, the communication process with customers, how to even take pictures of your food, how to describe your food. All this is being taught by our branch staff to these small merchants. And we also offer financial literacy programs to educate them, you know, about managing their business cash flow, digital marketing, using of social media. So all these are things that we do because we don't believe just putting out a platform there is sufficient. You can put a platform there, you can make it 0% commission, which is very well and good, but you need to close that gap, right? Whether you like it or not, we have a lot of small merchants who need that help to be onboarded and to be taught on how to sell online. So that's a gap we are trying to close as well, so that we really help them do better.
And what target market did you have in mind when launching Sama Sama Local, by the way? Are younger entrepreneurs a primary merchant base for you?
So the platform serves both. I mean, age doesn't really matter. But what we do is if there's a problem because the customer is unable to get on board, that's where the branches come in to help. So we do have the younger ones, the more entrepreneurial guys who want to try something new during the MCO and they come on board. And they sell their items on the platform. We have a lot of them. And it's very easy because it's a DIY capability put on the platform, right? So if you want to sign up, it's all through the app and it can be done within the first 5 minutes. That's how fast you can onboard and start using the platform to sell. But because the intent of Sama Sama Local is to help, it's a wide range and of customers or of merchants that we have today.
So where has adoption been the most robust? I think there was a study a while ago that said e-commerce is actually more active outside urban areas. So I was just wondering.
Yeah, for us, a little bit different, because for us, we noticed that the highest pickup has been Klang Valley for sure, as well as in Penang and Sabah. But I think when we deep dive into Sabah, what we noticed was that why it's become a popular hotspot for our platform is because of the branches. So our branches have been consciously going out and looking out for these struggling SMEs and getting them to come on board. So I'll give you an example, right? Just a couple of weeks ago, we had this Facebook Live done by I'm Jen. And she was promoting some of the grilled sandwiches and laksa and all that. But surprisingly, the one that did very well because of that live Facebook feed that we had was Sabah roast lambs, right? All the way in Sabah. So then I was asking the team, I said, hey, how come it's Sabah roast lambs that did well? So that's because the merchant took that opportunity to use the social media platforms to talk about it. And his transactions grew by 100% overnight. So I was actually very happy. And the thing is, it sustained. So it's not something that just happened for one day and then it just all dwindled off, right? Then we wouldn't have achieved what we wanted to achieve, right? Because the intention is that these small guys can sustain themselves for a longer period of time, right? So these are interesting insights that we have. The other areas, of course, places like Johor, and obviously Klang Valley.
Thanks very much for that. We need to take a short break, though, Kalyani. We are asking you, are you still using food delivery as much now that places are reopening and that most of us are fully vaxxed? Why or why not? Let us know. We're polling over on Instagram, polling over on Twitter. We're asking you the same question on Instagram. And of course, if you want to get in touch, like Walter has done, who says, dining in only when the risk is worth it for things like hot pot and barbecue. Otherwise, he tapaos. Thanks for that, Walter. Mm-hmm. We're going to take a short break. We've got Michael Jackson coming up with Rock With You. We'll be right back with Kalyani when we come back here on Enterprise Biz Bytes on BFM 89.9.
Bold, fearless Malaysia. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. It's a full house today. I'm Rich Bradbury with
Arvind Braj
and Christine Wong.
We're going to be with you for about another half an hour or so. We're talking about whether or not you are using food delivery services as much now that places are reopening and that most of us are fully vaccinated. We've been hearing from Kalyani Nair, the head of virtual banking and payments over at Maybank. And the reason that we're talking about this is because small businesses obviously need two things to survive the pandemic: digital adoption and obviously steady profits. While being an e-commerce and delivery platform, it does help in terms of reaching awareness. A portion of merchants' profits are used for commissions and platform fees. We've been talking about the importance of proper digital transitioning as well as having a platform that allows merchants to keep all of their profits.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, Kalyani, thanks for staying on the line. We want to continue by asking, you know, the main highlight of Summer Summer Local is that you don't take commissions or service fees, and all profits are kept by the merchants, right? So we have to ask, what's in it for Maybank? Because you've invested all these resources into the platform. What's your ROI?
Sometimes it's important to go back to what we stand for. We stand for this, right? We stand for humanizing financial services. It's about caring about our neighborhood, our local neighborhood, right? Our fellow local businesses and how we can help them during times of need. It is not just about how the bank can do better when it comes to deposit taking or giving out loans or selling another product in the market. Then when times like this come, we need to be out there helping them. So we don't look at it from an ROI perspective. We look at it about how much have we done to make these businesses sustainable even during this pandemic. And if we are able to give them a platform that allows them to sustain their business and even grow it during the pandemic and after the pandemic, then I think we've stayed true to our vision of humanizing the financial services. It's about building long-term trusted relationships with our customers. I think that's more important than just looking at it from an ROI perspective.
Okay. Speaking of resources, what's the process of launching an e-commerce platform like in terms of allocating manpower, tech support, and creating enough awareness in the F&B and the SME space?
We started getting feedback from the branches, right? Because during this MCO, when the first lockdown happened in March, we used to huddle with the branches via Zoom and all that to understand what was happening on the ground. And that's when we got feedback that a lot of these businesses were struggling because they were not getting enough sales, right? So what happened was we brainstormed, we looked for ideas of how we could help. And when this idea was suggested, everybody stood with us and helped to make it happen. It sounds picture perfect, but touch wood, it actually happened in that manner. So whether it be the tech teams, whether it be the business teams, whether it be the UI UX guys, our call center support, everybody chipped in. And when we first launched, we only had a couple of weeks to launch it because we thought that we need to do something quite urgently to help them. And we also wanted to test out whether our idea would work for these small businesses. So when we started out, it was very rudimentary, right? It was a way to connect our millions of customers to these struggling businesses. So we had something like a digital yellow pages. That was the first iteration that we had. And we took down the merchants' details. We called up the merchants to understand, because the merchants have been living the physical world for so long, right? For them to translate all this into the digital format would have been tough. It's tough, right? So that is where even our call center team came into the picture. So when an order came in, our call center team arranged for delivery, right? They connected with the delivery partners and arranged for the delivery. But then we realized that people were appreciating it. There was strong support from the local businesses. And that's when we realized it was time to refine the customer experience. And we started having monthly releases. And all this is done internally by the internal Maybank team. So yeah, it was quite a ride, and it's still a ride, but we love it because there are so many stories I could share with you of how it made a difference in their lives. And I think that keeps us going.
Okay. So what are the main challenges faced by Sama Sama Local at the moment as a platform?
Yeah, so I think the biggest challenge I see is that probably to customers, they're still not adapted to the fact that, or rather they're not aware of the fact that Maybank has now got a platform where you can buy food, you can buy your seafood, you can buy your groceries from, right? When they think of a bank, they think of savings products, they think of loans, they think of, you know, everything that's related to banking. So that is where we are trying to create the sort of awareness amongst our customers that, hey, we've got a platform where you can make a difference by helping out your local neighborhood stalls by coming to this platform called Sama Sama Local on the Maybank app to buy your local delicacies.
Mm-hmm. So we want to ask you the same question that we have over now on Twitter and Instagram on the poll, right? Now that more people are dining out and restrictions have been loosened, are you seeing a drop in activity on the platform, and do you expect to see a drop soon?
I think what's interesting is to look at customer behavior, right? So I think the dining habits for many of us have changed, and that will remain. So even when things are a little bit more free, we are, you know, we can dine a little bit more easily at the shops and all that, there will still be SOPs that we need to adhere to, right? And this working from home or working from anywhere is likely to persist. Hence, delivery of food, delivery of groceries, delivery of all these items will continue to be important. And we have noticed even now, the numbers are still trending upwards, right? We're still doing much better than we first started out. So we don't see this trend slowing down in any way or form. But what's interesting is when we look at helping the businesses, we look at it holistically. So it's not just about giving them a digital platform, but we have also enabled cashless payment methods at their dining locations. So in many of these stores today, if you were to go and dine in, you will notice that you will find the Maybank's QR payment capabilities made available. This is another area where when we say we want to help the merchant, we help you from end to end, both in the physical world as well as in the digital world. And the QR that we have enabled allows you as a customer, it doesn't matter which bank you belong to, all customers of all banks and non-banks who are part of the DuitNow structure or infrastructure platform will be able to pay through their mobile phones. I'm not sure whether you realize that customers these days, or other users like you and me, we're also looking for interesting food items or more wholesome food items, home-cooked food items, right, rather than just the commercial stuff that's available out there. And that is what Sama Sama Local gives you, that you might find it difficult to get in other platforms. We give you home-cooked food, which are specialties in certain localities, which you will not be able to get from larger merchants. And that, I think, is something that all customers will look forward to, right? Getting some very authentic food that you could not get before.
Now, I know Arvin has a question for you, but I'm going to jump in quickly before he does this. What about expansion plans, as in growing beyond the pandemic as an e-commerce platform in the Malaysian market? What do those plans look like?
Yeah. So the pandemic has accelerated digital adoption for both merchants and consumers. And for small businesses, digitalizing their business online has become an important option to take up. It's a channel to reach, to get better reach as well as to get higher sales. And we see consumers where the new norm is not going to go anyway. They've changed their habits and that payment behavior will persist. And hence, we will continue to make improvements to the marketplace we've created. But what's important is whatever improvements we make must always keep the customer in mind. And that's what we would love to do. All improvements is understanding about the customer, whether it be the customer who's paying for the food or the merchant who's our customer who needs help. And based on their needs, we will continue to improve our platform. And every month, in fact, we've got a release coming up to make those improvements.
Mm-hmm. So last question, Kalyani, and I have to ask, will the 0% fee structure change in the future? And what I'm asking is that risk-free concept dependent on the pandemic?
Not at all, Arvind. So the 0% commission will stay for small businesses as you want to help them digitize and rebuild their businesses together, right? So it's not something that we will stop once the pandemic is over. I can say with strong affirmation that we will continue to make it 0% for these small businesses so that they can keep 100% of their earnings and improve their livelihood. If you want to help locals and if you want to believe that every single cent, every single dollar goes directly back to the customer, to the merchant, then this is a good chance to try out the various types of food, even seafood that's being sold on the platform. Because Maybank doesn't make a single cent, everything goes back to the merchants. And on top of that, we help to promote them through social media, using influencers and using people who could really spread the word about these merchants who previously probably relied a lot on regular customers.
Right. So thanks, Kalyani. That was Kalyani Nayar, the head of virtual banking and payments over at Maybank. I like what Kalyani said about the difference between like social media and then using e-commerce or digitalization. That, mm-hmm. you know, being able to use Facebook or Instagram or social media is just like, it's a tiny portion of what, you know, digitalization is, right? Mm-hmm. And a lot of people might know how to use social media, but they still need like sort of adoption and onboarding and training to make that transition from offline to online and use an e-commerce platform.
Yeah, it's interesting because when you do speak to these people that you know have been reticent about digitalizing, you know, they see Facebook and Twitter and Instagram as that's what they need to do.
Digital,
you know, they see that as they're like, we don't want to be doing this. Like, well, there are other ways and methods that you can do. These are not necessarily what you need to do.
Yeah.
Anyway, folks, we have a very short break here, and we're going to wrap up when we come back. We're going to give you the final numbers of the polls and some messages that some of you guys have sent through. Let's have a short break with some music, catch a bit of breath. Doris Troy coming up with Can't Hold On here on BFM 89.9.
Bole for Malaysia. Ha. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bites. I'm Rich Bradbury, and I'm in the studio with
Christine Wong.
Arvin Yavraj.
We're going to wrap up in a couple of minutes, but of course, we have been speaking all about whether or not you're still using food delivery services as much now that most places are reopening and that most of us are fully vaxxed. Why or why not? We'll get to the results in just a moment, but we were hearing from Karina, the head of virtual banking and payments over at Maybank. We had her on the line. She was talking to us about trends in the market and the dynamics of small merchants and businesses and their adoption of e-commerce platforms. So let's have a look through some of the messages that we've had. Do we want to do Twitter first, Arv?
Yeah, so over on Twitter, the poll numbers are 39.9% at yes for convenience, 16.2% for yes for safety, 32.4% saying no, I tapao, and 11.5% saying no, I dine in. A couple of tweets. Mrs. Hamid says, only for faraway outlets once in a while. Lunchtime is short. Sometimes there's not enough time to cook or to tapao. Mm-hmm. Nakia says, I tapao since delivery charges rising since last month. Mm-hmm. And Emin Ibrahim says, I tried Lemang Dino before the pandemic started. Her lemang is good. Great to know her business survives. We'll look for her stall again, not very far from a famous Itik Salai stall, once interstate travel is allowed again.
Yay. Chris, what have you got over there?
So on Instagram, the final poll numbers are 58% yes, 42% no. And we do have a couple more responses here. Daphne Miranda, 88, says, because I try not to go out frequently, it's still very scary to be in large crowds. Totally agree with you, honestly. Mm. And PDX, 3156, says, as much as I'm aware of the risks, I dine in outlets which have larger space or al fresco dining.
Okay, I've got a few more to wrap up with here on WhatsApp. Steve Chong has said, good afternoon. I'm back to dining in at the Kopitiams, shop operators, and to visit the malls. Those only offers takeaway. I'll skip them nowadays. I've got Maggie Best here, who says, still ordering online food because of the convenience, but often the menus are restrictive as opposed to what the outlets would offer for dine-in for obvious reasons, like the dish may not taste so good when it's a takeaway. Sometimes the prices are marked up as high as 25%, and this further gives us less of a choice. Thanks for that, Maggie. A final message I've got here from Anwar, who says, kudos to Maybank with Sama Sama Local. Great initiative. It is indeed. And that's pretty much it for today. It's all the time we've got. We're going to have to wrap up, ladies and gents. But thank you very much for all of your messages and for taking part in the Twitter poll and, of course, getting in touch via Instagram. Stick around, though, because there's something coming up after the 1 o'clock news. It's the Breakfast Gruel replay. Next year, Malaysia Debt Ventures, a government agency under the Ministry of Science, Technology and Innovation, hits a milestone. Its 20th year anniversary. MDV CEO Nizam Mohamed Nazri takes the hot seat, or took the hot seat on the Breakfast Gruel this morning to discuss the challenges MDV faced during the pandemic, what their achievements have been since 12 billion ringgit has been dispersed, and their role as Malaysia attempts to achieve its lofty goals of being a high value added economy. That's all coming up after the 1 o'clock news. I want to thank Arvin for taking the time to come here to the studio, and of course I want to thank Christine for joining me here.
For always being here in the studio.
For always being here in the studio from the crack of dawn until it goes dark at night. With that, to take us out of the show, it's you two with Elevation here on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.